Okay, it is May 18th. May 18th, 2021. I'm Dan McKay, and I have Norman Moulton here. And we're talking about a variety of things, including Jim Barnaby. So the background is that that I posted on Turret Memories, and Norman responded, and went to talk to Norman. You knew Jim personally from the 1980s and 90s, I guess.
That's right.
And you went to talk to his sister as well?
I did, yeah. His sister is Pat Barnaby.
Okay. So what I'm curious about, what made you, like, this is work that's above and beyond just saying, oh yeah, he was a really nice guy, which is what I normally get from most people. So I'm curious about why you decided to do this extra work.
Well, because Jim was a dear friend for many years, and I was impressed by all the goodness that he did for the community.
Okay. So what did his sister have to say?
She informed me, first of all, that he had worked for 20-odd years for the grain elevators here in Halifax. At first, he was a clerk, and later, he was a personal assistant to the general manager. She also clarified for me that he had been a brother, a Catholic brother, had worked in some part of the U.S. for several years, but chose to leave the Catholic Church on his own.
Hmm. And that must have been in the 1970s.
I'm guessing it would have been the 70s.
Okay. Interesting. So probably he joined the Catholic Brothers right out of high school and then decided that wasn't for him and then went on to do work at the grain elevators.
Yes, probably from university.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I see you have a whole huge essay here on paper.
Quite a list.
Okay. Just okay. Start talking. I might interrupt you with questions.
Oh, of course. Jim and I were friends for many years, and I found him to be a highly intelligent man with a very quick mind. He was petite and trim, always, and very meticulous about his appearance. He studied ballroom dancing, and he used to dance down at the Turret on Granville Street. Was it Granville? Yeah, just below Barrington, with a female friend, and I used to watch him glide across the floor. I was quite impressed. He had a heart attack at the club on Granville Street, and they had to take him off the metal dance floor to bring him back around, with shock his body.
Were you there? Do you remember that?
I was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In fact, I grabbed my car, went to his sister's place, parked my car illegally because I was in quite a state, you can imagine, and told her about him being in the Emerge. And she was right there on Tower Road, so we just walked to the Emerge. Yeah. And he went on to have several other heart attacks and eventually received a heart. He had a heart transplant and lived for 18 years.
Wow.
Until he had a stroke.
So I ask about that heart attack at Rumors because Scott McNeil tells exactly the same story, and he was manager at the time.
Oh.
He tells exactly the same story, that they had to carry him off the metal dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yes. Okay. One of his hobbies was genealogy, which he did for many years, and he was very proud of his English and Irish heritage. He also helped out at the, what's that called again on University Avenue, where you get information about history?
The Genealogy Association?
No, I'm trying to remember the name. Anyway,
the archives.
The archives. He volunteered to help other people at the archives. So that was one of his hobbies. He also was a great sewer, and he made costumes for me and for other people. He was fantastic at that. So he actually made a female vampire costume for me, which I said I'd never wear. And he was born and raised in Halifax. He was one boy with four sisters. He, at one time, had two little dogs, which he used to love to take for walks, and later in life, he had two different cats. He was a member of Sparrow, which was a gay and lesbian Christian support group.
And were you a member too?
I was, yeah. I was one of the leaders for a few years.
So were you and Jim very early members of Sparrow, do you think?
No, it was a little later on. Okay. After the Father Mike days, Father Mike McDonald was an early... He and Bob Petit started the... and I think there was a Peter Fox too, who started Sparrow. And then we came along a few years later. He also, Jim, attended Safe Harbor Church for a while, for a short time, but decided it really wasn't his thing, you know? He kept a beautiful apartment, and he used to love to go looking around for antiques and treasures at some of the thrift stores with a friend of mine. He also worked on the gay line. You're probably aware of that.
Well, I was just looking at the, I looked through the encyclopedia this morning for mentions of his name, and the, do you remember on the gay line we had a book, and you wrote at the end of your shift, or at the beginning of your shift, or any time you felt like it, you could write in the book, and it was just for anything. It was
I remember.
For thoughts and incidents, and he wrote the very last entry in the gay line.
Really?
February 1987. No, I'm sorry. That's when he had the heart attack on the floor. Sorry. June 1996 was the last entry in the gay line.
Really? I didn't realize the gay line was around for that long.
Yep. So that was the last entry. It moved around a bit. And so did you ever work shifts with him on the gay line?
No, just by myself.
Yeah. Although at the beginning, obviously, you must have... you did when you did the training, you were... would have been doing training with other people.
Yes, that's right.
Who did you train with? Do you remember?
I can't remember. I remember doing one shift with you.
Oh, yeah? I remember that, yeah. And were you training me or was I training you? Probably you were training me.
Oh, no, it was the other way around.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I remember the cockroach going across the top of the desk.
So that, actually, if there was a cockroach, we know that places that within 2 years, because the cockroaches were at
Macara Street, that's
and
right.
we only owned Macara Street for 2 years.
There you go. Okay, now let me see. What else do I have here?
So, what was your usual social interactions with Jim? Did you guys go dancing together? Or did
no,
you
but we lived in the same building.
Oh, really? Where?
Scotian. It was called the Scotian on Green Street. Right, almost at the foot of Green Street, behind a tavern that was there. I can't remember the name of the tavern, but
that was the stripper tavern.
That's right.
I can't remember its name either.
Jim also helped with two students from the School for the Blind. Just helped them with papers, take them for walks, whatever, you know. And he also, believe it or not, he was a cuddler for babies at the neonatal unit at the IWK.
I've never heard of such a thing.
I can just see tiny little Jim with a tiny little baby.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know there was such a job.
Oh, I've heard of other people who have done that, you know. He also worked for a few years on the Halifax Helpline.
Okay. Yeah. And... this is all information that you got from his sister?
Some I already knew. Some you remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And he visited folks who were waiting for heart transplants. Since he already had one, he could inform them about the process, to listen to their fears and their concerns. Well, yeah, that was a great thing to do.
He's coming across, Norman, as someone who devoted an extraordinary amount of time to volunteer work.
Yes, he was always a very giving person, and it makes sense. You know, him being a brother in the church, he just carried on with that passion. Hmm. And he visited folks who were dying at home with AIDS, which I thought was a beautiful thing to do.
remember which organization? I was just with one of the AIDS organizations.
Yes.
PWA Coalition or one of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just looking to see if I have anything else here. He was born and raised in Halifax in the South End.
Did you happen to get a birthday for him from his sister?
Oh, shoot. No, I must ask her.
Okay, let's get
her birth date. Hmm.
And the day that he passed as well.
Okay. I think that's all I have right now.
What was your social life like with them? Did you guys go out for tea or coffee or meals together and stuff?
We would have like suppers at home.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then maybe visit the gardens. Just something very simple, you know. We have mutual friends.
Right. Anyone I know?
Probably. Randy Arnold is the main one. I don't know if you know that name.
No, I don't.
Sight impaired himself. He's totally blind now.
Oh, okay.
And he and Jim were very close. They would go to the thrift shops. And
did he live on Green Street as well?
No. I forget. They may have met through me, but I can't remember.
So, if he didn't go to Safe Harbor, it sounds like someone who did go to church regularly. Where did he go to church?
Well, I'm not sure. My sense is that after he left the Catholic Church, as a brother, he kind of cooled off from the church. I don't think he went to church very much.
Right, but he obviously must. If he went to the Sparrow, he must have had some interest or calling. I don't know. Norma, do you feel like people are called to go to church, or they feel like there's a? I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons that people go to church.
Exactly.
And so. You know, there's a social element and there's all sorts of other elements. But the fact that he was going to Sparrow suggests that he had some interest in some spiritual connections.
Yes, and I have met a lot of people over the years who would go to some spiritual support group, rather than going to the church they were brought up in because they felt disenfranchised or whatever they felt about
sure.
the mother church, you know.
Yeah. And at the time, you know, in the 90s, there were not a lot of options for extremely affirming, small A affirming churches, and almost none for capital A affirming churches.
That's right.
I mean, you know, there are very few. Did you spend a lot of time with Sparrow?
I was with Sparrow, Mark. It must have been 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm. I became one of the leaders for a while, you know. And it was a great comfort to me because I felt such a division between my spirituality and my sexuality. And I felt such guilt about my sexuality. But once I went to Sparrow for a while, I started to feel more comfortable about the idea of being Christian and being gay.
Yeah, well, that's what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that came about just by osmosis, by the people who were there, or was there a leader there at the time who really emphasized that as an important part of being there?
I would say in the early days, between Father Mike and Father Bob Petit, that they would emphasize that that healing to take place between one's sexuality and spirituality.
Yeah, because one of the things I've been thinking about is how people pick up on this homophobic elements of the church and how they get rid of them, how those feelings come and how they go. And to me it seems like the only way that they're learned by hearing hateful homophobic words from someone, and then and maybe the only way to make them go away is for someone that they trust a lot to say, no, that's not the way things really are.
That's very true, because I know for me, there were certain people along the way who were guideposts, such as Father Mike McDonald, mm-hmm. Bob Petit, who else? Darlene Young, who was the minister at Safe Harbor, people like that, they really helped me a great deal to come to peace within myself. In fact, it was finally through Darlene, before she passed away at only 47, that I came to say, my sexuality is a sacred and precious gift from God, and I believe the same is true for all persons. But it took me many years to come to that realization.
And where do you think you learned that homophobia to begin with?
Well, I think I learned it
in the Catholic Church when you were a kid.
Actually, I wasn't brought up Catholic. It was United.
Oh yeah.
But I always sense, whatever church I went to as a young person, that I really didn't belong, that I didn't fit in anywhere. You know, of course, I already had a terribly low self-esteem as a young child. So, you know, I kind of brought that wherever I went.
Yeah, and I don't think the United Church has ever been kind of actively homophobic, but they were not actively
affirming.
Affirming either. That's right. Or capital A affirming.
That's right. And with the United Church, some of them were more conservative than others.
That's true.
The individual churches.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Because you can see some United churches that are still not really keen on gay marriage.
That's right.
Even though, you know, it should be everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we see rainbow flags out in front of lots of United churches.
Oh, very true. There are many affirming ones.
Yep. Well, I think I've handled most of the questions. I think we had, with the gay line, I think we had social events every now and then. I don't remember any particular one, but I think that there must have been social events. Do you remember anything about that?
No, I don't recall. I was a bit shy in those days and didn't attend a lot of things, you know.
But Ed Slade, I think, was the coordinator. And Ed, at the beginning of, or sometime the previous month, mm-hmm. like in middle of February, Ed would set up the schedule for March.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember anyone else doing it.
Later on, didn't the couple take over Brian and Ron Garnett Doucette?
Didn't they take over later? Right. Yeah, they probably did. I got their archives. I got half of their archives for the gay line.
Oh.
In the archives, the other half. It's obvious that they're missing because there's a big block of very detailed records, mm-hmm. and then there's a big block of missing records.
Oh.
And the one really obvious thing that's missing, that Ron said must be there, is remember we had a Rolodex of all
mm-hmm.
the information, all the things on it, and I can't remember, there were hundreds of cards in it probably.
Yeah.
And he says he is sure that they have that somewhere in a box, and the rest of the records are almost certainly gone.
Oh.
And also we have, you know, those scribblers where we kept our logbook in.
Mm-hmm.
That's missing a block of years.
Oh.
So anyway, the rest of that will show up as well. But there's some really beautiful stuff that came out of that that archives.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and so we're going to have to do a biography of you at some point for the... I don't think I have a biography for you in the encyclopedia, do I?
Probably not.
I don't keep track myself of what's in it and what's not. It's mm-hmm. just I don't waste my neurons that. Let me see what we have on... No, we have no biography, but we have 7 pages that reference you.
Oh, I do get around.
I'll just list them here. Atlantic Gays and Lesbians. And a note from when you told a story about Bill Sutter.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not just saying you used to go into a shop.
Yeah.
Karras. Church members assembled to... Let's see why it mentions you here in Karras. Oh, It says that you went to meetings. You went to Karis meetings.
See, I can't remember.
Your name is on some minutes somewhere.
Oh.
And so that was a thing started by, it doesn't exactly say, but I'm sure it was Bob Petit. Avery Kempton and Bob Petit that started it.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
The other people's names are Barbara Adams, Beth Miller, Bernie Coffin.
Oh, Beth Miller.
Do you know her?
She was the minister for Unitarian Church. And Bernie Coffin was the deacon of the Catholic Church.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just go through the rest of these. Bill Gibson.
Doesn't ring a bell, really.
Bruce Moore.
Well, Bruce Moore. Seems to me that he was somehow connected with Sparrow, Bruce Moore. I can see his body, his face, yeah. I don't remember what I can't remember exactly what he did, Bruce Moore.
Brian Mott.
Well, Brian Mott. He was studying for the priesthood. And he was a regular member of Sparrow.
Bruce Pellerin?
Oh, yes. He was an Anglican priest. And he also was a professor at AST.
Well, I'm getting confused here because there's a couple. All right. And who else we got here? Carolyn Mossman?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Charles Black?
Nope.
David Ferguson?
David Ferguson. Can't think.
Doug Williams?
No.
Dwight Mitchell?
No.
Evelyn McCall?
No.
Florence McMillan?
Florence McMillan. If we go back to Evelyn, I'm pretty sure she was the mother of the skater. McCall, what was his name again?
Brian McCall.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure that was his mom.
I think I have a reference for that.
And who came after Evelyn?
Florence McMillan.
No.
Yes, Rob McCall.
Rob.
It's Rob McCall's mother.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Very good. Wow. Who else we got? Francis Cody.
No.
Harvey McDonald.
Harvey was a member of AA, and I knew him quite well, you know, through the community.
Ida Whitehouse.
Nope.
Joanne Martell.
No.
Judy Milne.
Judy Milne.
Judy, we have to get a biography done on Judy Milne.
That sets off a little bell for me, Judy Milne. I must have met her somewhere along the line.
I got to make a note here that we have to get. We have a list of women that we have to do biographies for, and she's. She should be near the top of it.
Right.
Oh, what else we got here? Judith Ann Murphy?
Nope.
Lenny Seller?
Nope.
Leon Chubbs?
No.
Lorne White?
Lorne White, yes. Lorne White, if that's the same Lorne White, was, he sang a sing-along jubilee.
Oh.
And was, the son of a man who was a doctor, either his father, yeah, it would have been his father, was a doctor during the war with the Black Regiment, and the person who served with him was another doctor who was the father, the grandfather of Anne Murray.
Oh, wow, interesting.
I saw the documentary.
Lorraine Carroll.
Lorraine Carroll, can't think.
And Louis Casey, of course.
Oh, dear, Father Louis Casey, yeah.
What do I have for a biography on him? I don't think. Oh, I've got a few hundred words on Louis.
Oh yes.
Nothing that really encompasses it, what personality was. Marilyn Whitehead.
Yes, I've met her.
Mary Keating.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Sister Mary Jean Burns.
No.
Father, and there's Father Mike.
Yep.
Nancy Josie.
Yes, oh, Nancy Josie, if it's the same one. I knew her, she was in a wheelchair for many years. Nancy Josie. Yeah.
Nelson Hubley?
Yeah, he was my former partner, Nelson Hubley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and an artist, and he's been in a long-term relationship for many, many years.
Well, why don't you put on your to-do list, let's do a biography of him.
And of who,
Nelson? Biography and picture, yeah.
Okay.
Norma Price?
Norma Price. No, it doesn't.
Paul Bowen?
Paul Bowen, no.
Philip Cable?
Philip Cable, just a minute. Philip Cable. Oh, yes. He was a United Church minister. He used to live with his wife and children here in Halifax, but he separated from her and took himself a partner. Now he's married to another United Church minister, male.
Oh.
Originally from Ontario.
I have another page that mentions him here.
Yeah.
Oh, said he was a director of the H. Vigil Choir.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that part, yeah.
Wonder who... Obviously, I should get... is he still around?
Lives in Ontario.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll put him on our to-do list here as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm still in touch with his ex-wife and her new husband, or the husband she... the man she married later.
Just continuing down that list, Paul Griffin. Paul Griffin Allwood.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Randy Duplack.
No.
Robert Allen.
Oh, yes, Robert Allen used to be the CEO for the, what's it called, Nova Scotia AIDS Coalition?
Yeah, and I don't have a biography for him, so I'll put that on the list here, too.
Mm. I don't know what became of him.
He's a professor at St. Mary's now, I think.
Oh, do you know how to spell his last name?
I think it's A-L-L-A-N. Okay. Let me double check. I think that's right. My Robert Allen story is that there was this homophobic thing coming to Halifax. It was a thing where they promised they could... it was conversion. It was
conversion
Christian
therapy.
Conversion
I heard about that, yes.
And Robert, I think, organized us crashing their event.
Mm-hmm.
And we just completely disrupted the event. We just completely messed it up.
Good.
Well, it was quite remarkable because I had prepared a bunch of all of the Bible chapters that are used to convince people that homosexuality is bad. I prepared all replies to those. Like if you quote the Old Testament, right? As soon as you quote the Old Testament, you're in a position to be ridiculed.
Yes.
Because there's so much goofy stuff in the Old Testament. For instance, if there's a woman at the front of the room, you can say, excuse me, but you're not supposed to be speaking. It says so in Leviticus, whatever. Mm,
that's right. I know.
And et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, and Robert Allen, I remember him, this woman trying to present, and him just talking. And like he had a loud, calm, deep voice, and you just couldn't hear anything she was saying. It really was an amazing event. I have to write it up sometime. As a thing. Let's get some more people here. Sharon Balcom?
Nope.
Steve Parsons.
Steve Parsons. If it's the same Steve Parsons, he used to have the
Centertown
Bed and Breakfast. That's yeah. Right.
Stephen McCall.
Stephen McCall. I'm not
well,
sure.
There's another McCall, so I wonder if that was another relative of Rob McCall.
Maybe.
Terry Martin.
Oh yes, Terry, good old Terry.
I think I do have. I have a nice biography for Terry.
Good.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Oh, look at that! What a great picture.
Yeah, it's a fantastic picture.
What a lovely man that Terry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his partner.
Theo de Bruin.
Oh, Theo de Bruin.
Yeah.
Theo de Bruin. What was his background, Theo de Bruin? It seems to me he was a professor, Theo de Bruin.
Okay.
To do with theology, I think. Theo de Bruin.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
These are all
yeah, in fact, he was a professor at AST.
Okay.
Theo de Bruin.
These are all people from Caris. Tom Mabee.
He was, a priest, either a priest or a deacon.
Okay.
Of the Catholic Church, Tom Mabee.
Tom Sinclair Faulkner?
Don't know.
Vida Doucette? Vida Doucette?
I know her name from somewhere. Can't place it.
It says she was representing the PWA coalition.
Oh. Hmm.
And that's the big list from Caris.
There you go.
So you can see that just in that 5-minute thing that we just did there, we generated another like 5 people that we should do biographies for.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you can see why I'm saying, I would not surprise me to have another 1,000 pages.
Oh, of course.
There. But this is good work and it's fun work, Norman. If you want to get involved, there's literally an infinite amount of work to do.
Well, I'm sure I'll be helping here and there.
Okay, awesome. Okay, I'm going to turn off the tape recorder. Is there anything else there that you thought of in the meantime?
No, but if his sister tells me anything, I'll pass it along to you.
All right. Okay, awesome.
But it was wonderful to realize even further what a beautiful man James